Hey, this is Aaron Berry, and you're listening to Ainsley Dennis here on Alive 90.5 FM.
We've got a special guest in the studio, well, actually on the call at the moment, Ola Jura Lanfear, and she's the proud author of The Fundamentals of Merchandise Planning. So Ola Jura has, just to give you a bit of an intro, she's worked in the US with Hallmark, with Body Shop, she's worked in the UK, and she's worked in Australia. Good morning, Ola Jura.
Good morning, Ainsley.
Good morning. How are you feeling today?
Absolutely superb.
Awesome. So, Oli, I know that the UK is quite close to your heart. I'll probably start off right there. My deepest wishes goes out to you and all the UK people out there with the COVID situation at the moment. Firstly, I know you're based in Australia, but I'm sure you might have friends and family and things back home.
Most definitely, yes. And they are, as you know, in lockdown again, yeah. With the increase in number of cases. And I know definitely in the London area, schools are not going back after Christmas for a little while longer.
Yeah, quite challenging. Well, as I said, hope everything gets under control. People actually abide to the laws. We're actually quite fortunate here in Australia, considering the numbers we have relative to the rest of the world, definitely.
Yes, I do. I do feel for those in the US, where I also have relatives, as well as the UK, and I feel very, very lucky to be based in Australia, where our numbers are not as crazy as theirs, and also we have a government who are very motivated in keeping the numbers as low as possible.
Yeah. So, Oli, keen to understand. I've looked at your profile and really excited to have you with Alive 90.5 this morning. So what I wanted to understand is just if you can give us a bit of background in terms of what inspired you, A, to pursue a career in retail, and second of all, to write a book, because it's quite a inspirational story to actually take some of the learnings you've had and to actually convert that and share that with other people.
Well, getting into retail was accidental, a happy accident. I didn't know what to do. So when I was about 17, 18, I had to decide what course to do at university. And I knew it was going to be business related, but I didn't know what I wanted to do afterwards. As luck would have it, I came upon a course that was called Retail Marketing and Distribution. And I was working in retail on the shop floor at the time, on weekends and during school holidays, because this was a job I was doing while studying as well. Did the course, and while I was doing the course, I actually liked the retail side. Specifically, with the one subject that I liked was the a side on merchandising, buying and merchandising. Now I knew that from doing that that module, that unit, I knew that I wasn't interested in the buying side. But then when we got onto the merchandising side, which is what merchandise planning is called in the UK, merchandising, when I got onto that side, I actually found it quite interesting. I don't know what drew me to it. It could be a combination of the numbers and the calculations, as well as having to use my mind as well to make decisions and tell a story from those numbers. So that's how I ended up in carrying on working in retail. And I've been in the retail industry ever since. I have tried to leave the retail industry a couple of times, but I get drawn back in. Through choice.
Definitely. So with that in mind, so having worked in retail and being merchandise planning, what are the key skills that someone needs to actually be a merchandise planner?
Well, having done merchandise planning for quite a lot of years, I would say that the key skills are, first, you have to be better than proficient with numbers. So you definitely have to not be afraid of them, and you got to understand numbers. And from those numbers, you've got to be able to tell a story. So merchandise planners look at what's happened in the past, what's happening in the present, and also predict what's going to happen in the future. So being able to tell a story by looking at what's happened in the past and what's currently happening to determine what's going to happen in the future is one skill that's needed. Being able to communicate those skills quite clearly to anyone who asks. Merchandise planners are exposed to so many different parts of the business and so many different levels of the business that our communication skills has to be quite good to be able to speak to upper management, to speak to colleagues, and to speak to those who don't necessarily understand what merchandise planning is and what we do. Being able to collaborate with other areas, like I said earlier, merchandise planners deal with so many parts of the business. I kind of look at merchandise planning as a point where there's a conjunction, where marketing meets supply chain, meets finance, coming all together. Another thing that merchandise planners need to do is we need to understand the impact that results have. So as well as being able to do 1 + 1 = 2, you need to understand what that answer means, what effect it's going to actually have. You got to think far into the future. So for instance, in fashion, operating 12, 18 months ahead of time. So you got to be able to predict what's going to happen at that time period, to decide what quantities to buy, how long those quantities are going to actually last for, when you're going to mark down those quantities, or before the products have orders for the products have arrived into the store. Thinking independently is another thing that planners need to be able to do, because we've got to come up with solutions to problems that are happening right now, as well as solutions to problems that haven't happened. So we've got to figure out what a potential situation is going to be and come up with a solution to that. Those are some of the things that skills that planners need to have, as well as being able to accept rejection. That's one thing that no one actually tells you. You've got to be able to accept rejection. And by that, I mean, we make lots of recommendations as to what to mark down, what promotions to put on, and 90% of those recommendations are usually a no when you present that to senior management, and you have to be able to be okay with that.
So you need to be able to really have strong influencing skills as well.
That is very, very true, yes, because when you do get that no, particularly if it's coming from a general manager or a VP level, you've got to very subtly ask why it's a no, and then see if there's a way you can change their minds if it's something that you really do think needs to be done for the good of not just the area you're looking after, but the organization as a whole.
Awesome. So your book, Fundamentals of Merchandise Planning, what really got you to actually take all that skills that you've acquired and really start writing a book? What inspired you?
Okay, so my true inspiration essentially whenever you're asked, and for some reason it's always in a loud environment in a room where no one can hear what anyone's saying. Whenever asked, what do you do for a living? And whenever I said merchandise planning, I always got this blank look on people's faces. And then when you say you're in retail, people think, oh, so you stack shelves. And you go, no, it's not the stacking shelves part of retail. It's the planning part of retail. I work in the buying department. And then like, go, so you're a buyer. It's like, no, I'm not a buyer. I deal with the numbers. And there's still that confusion on people's faces. So after over a decade of having to explain to people what merchandise planning is, I decided to actually put pen to paper, as the phrase goes, and actually write a book about merchandise planning. And the specifically, I was writing a book for people who weren't merchandise planners, people who were interested in merchandise planning or wanted to get into merchandise planning, and wanted to understand more about that function in retail, because it's a little known function in retail. I've only come across one person who wasn't a merchandise planner that actually knew what merchandise planning was. And the only reason she knew what it was because her husband was a merchandise planner.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of excitement in my voice when I found that out. It's like, oh my God, another merchandise planner.
So that was
the inspiration behind writing the book, is to explain to to non-merchandise planners what merchandise planning is.
And also, if I'm looking at Seek or LinkedIn and all of that, there's constantly a need for merchandise planners in Australia. It's one of those jobs where there's at least, I'd say, anything between 6 to 8 roles available across Sydney, Melbourne, where the main hubs are. So there's definitely a demand for merchandise planners.
There definitely is. I mean, I've been lucky enough, as you said in the intro, to have worked in on 3 different continents in merchandise planning, being that the UK, the US, as well as here in Australia as well. And it's been relatively easy to see job ads in each of those countries for merchandise planners.
Yeah.
The skills are highly transferable because we're all looking at the same things, and the need is there. The need varies over time as to what is required from a merchandise planner, but the core is not something that's going to be going away anytime soon.
Yep, no, definitely. So I'm really intrigued by it, because what you've basically done is you've made a base merchandise planning 101 book on for anybody wanting straight out of school, or even from stores, in wanting to really pursue a career in merchandise planning, to give them that fundamentals and that foundation of what's required to be a merchandise planner. Am I right in saying that?
You're absolutely, first of all, thank you for saying that. And you're absolutely right in saying that. I actually got 2 messages via LinkedIn out of the blue. One was from someone in the US who was actually a VP level, who felt compelled to send me a message to say that she read my book and found it very, very very, very useful in understanding merchandise planning as her new role. Bearing in mind, this is someone who's a VP level, so that's general manager level, in between general manager and possibly managing director level. So she read the book and it helped her understand the role even more. So she thanked me for writing the book. And then I got another email from a student a reader in Europe, who happened to be a student and was writing a thesis on within retail, and had selected my book as one of the books to use in understanding merchandise planning. So those 2 things confirmed that this book is hitting my intended audience, which is those who want to know more about merchandise planning and how it fits into retail as a whole.
Excellent. So I'm really excited because my background's also merchandise planning. And one of the key things that I always say, merchandise planners sometimes are underrated. And they're not handbrakes, as some people call them, where they control the spend, that the buyers just go and spend money. But they assess the risk, if I could say that, and give different options and solutions on quantities and inventory management and pricing suggestions and profitability. So they play quite an integral role in that buying role, in that merchandise role. So what are some of the challenges you faced with being a merchandise planner?
Well, one challenge that I have observed merchandise planners face is that it's thought of as just managing inventory
yeah.
or just writing reports.
Yeah.
And depending on what organization you go to, they either see merchandise planners as just being inventory focused
yep.
or being reports focused. And merchandise planning isn't just that. It encompasses a whole lot more than that, which is why a good merchandise planner has developed, well, I like to say, a good merchandise planner knows that 1 + 1 = 2.5
yeah.
as opposed to 2. And that's because we look at a huge amount of information. A lot of it is extracted automatically from systems, but we look at all that information, and while we are weaving, while we're telling a story with that information and communicating that information to whoever who needs to hear that information, we make recommendations as well based on what we see, as well as knowledge of the area that we're looking for and what's going on in the wider macro environment as well. It's part art, part science.
Yeah, definitely.
So Holly, just in terms of, from a time point of view, what where can people find your book? Like in terms of the book that you've written, how can they reach you or contact you or find your book if they're wanting to pursue a career in merch planning or wanting to purchase one of your books? Where can this book be found?
Well, to purchase a book, it can be purchased on Amazon. So you can go to amazon.com.au
yeah.
and type in the fundamentals of planning.
Yep.
Or my name. My first name is spelled O-L-E-J-U-R-U and my yeah. surname is spelled L-A-N-F-E-A-R. So that's, you can buy that on Amazon. You can either get it as a paperback or you can get an ebook
yeah.
copy as well. Failing that, you can also go into any bookstore around the world actually and order a copy. And then you buy it through the bookshop.
Awesome. That's really, really insightful. I definitely think it's a massive need because with COVID and everything happening at the moment, it's been a really tough environment. Shops haven't been trading at the optimal. Lots of retailers have shut down. People don't realize that all those sales that you're seeing, you're actually helping at the retailers because they actually have an abundance of stock because nobody forecasted the COVID impact, especially in Victoria when retail's been shut down and all those sales. And from a profitability, they having to exit and mark down and clear. So the planner's role is to manage that effectively. And we don't want all these big retailers and those well-known brands out there that we've grown up and loved, like Tiger, Lily, and some of the other ones. You know, a couple of ones that's closed down. Yeah, we don't want them to all go into liquidation.
Definitely. No, I mean, we have to, you're right that we have to do all of that. I'll add to that as well, while still making money
yes.
for the retailer. Because
definitely.
One of the key things that merchandise planning does is we try and ensure a profit is made.
Awesome, yeah.
At the end of the day. And in terms of being able to contact me, which is another question that you asked,
yeah.
People can go onto my site, which is www.sloppysuccess.com.
Yeah. Why do you call it sloppy success?
That's a conversation for a different day. Well, essentially it's called that because being successful is never straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to achieve anything is not as simple as game. It's not linear. There are lots of ups and downs, and it is a bit messy. But if you keep at it, you keep on. If you keep at it and keep on keeping on, you will get there.
Yeah.
Sloppysuccess.com, and you can use the contact page on there to send me a message, and I will be happy to hear from your listeners.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Olajuwon, for joining us this morning. at Alive 90.5 and for helping us understand the role of a merchandise planner, also sharing your book about the fundamentals of merchandise planning and some insight in terms of some of the challenges. But also it opens up another avenue for our listeners out there. So if you're wanting to pursue a career and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to be in retail and I'm going to pack shelves for the rest of my life, there's opportunities where you could be a manager, you could be a buyer, you could be in marketing, you could go to planning, supply chain. There's so much opportunities, but it's all up to you, which we spoke about last week, about setting goals, being driven, being motivated, and driving yourself and your career and taking it in control. Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Ainsley, and thank you to your listeners as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Olajuwon, and love having you here.